can stand up and ask. It is Bible study, and we should give room for questions. So that means everybody understands. Now, if you don't ask me, I will walk to one of you and ask you. And you must answer me. Or did you speak too much grammar? Who is asking? Any question? Yes. Come forward and ask your question. We'll just use 20 minutes to do that and then we move forward. We came here to pray. We must pray, but we must hear the word. Yes, sister.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, my question is concerning what you've just said now. Pertaining this second wife.
Pastor Thomas, did you talk about second wife?
No, sir. I said concerning the one you said, sir. Concerning
you for ask wife. Question for waiting the teachers today. Yes?
Sir, you said that a Christian should not marry second wife.
Yes.
That is not supposed to be, even according to the scripture, it's not supposed to be in the work of God while marrying second wife.
Yes.
But what of Jacob? The Bible calls God the God of Abraham.
Was Jacob a Christian?
So then why did the Bible say that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why then was Jacob called? That is called by God. That
does God love sin?
Yes, God loves Jacob, sir.
Does God love sin?
No, sir.
But God loves sinners.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me not go that way. What's your question? Why did God allow Jacob to marry two wives?
Why was he interested in Jacob upon that he had wives and many of them?
The same reason why he loved me before I knew him and died on the cross on Calvary.
So I'm not clarified.
Hold on now. Hold on. You are saying that why did he still love Jacob?
Yes.
Even though Jacob, from the word Jacob, listen, church, was it before he married those two wives or after he married those two wives that his name changed from Jacob to Israel?
It was after, sir.
After?
Yes, sir.
Old things are passed away.
Sir, but before he married those wives, he had an encounter with God.
Yes. But his name was not changed. His nature was not changed. Well, I want you to note something, church. Listen. This is important. I was just going that way. When it comes to marriage, there is nowhere in the Old Testament that God rebuked anybody for marrying more than one wife. The prophet went to David. David killed a man and collected his wife. God went to him. What is his? Sent the prophet to go and tell him. He said, I gave you many wives. This man has only one. That was God's anger. You killed the man and collected the only one he has. That was God's anger. In the whole Old Testament, praise the Lord, Old Testament was under the permissive will of God. The New Testament came to establish the perfect will of God. In the beginning, it was not so. That is why it is wrong to marry more than one wife.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yes.
Daddy, God bless you.
Bless you too.
Sorry, my question is not from today's teaching.
From today's teaching?
It's not from today's teaching.
Why would I not ask from today's teaching?
I understood what he taught.
Very perfect. Yes. Not only my own, I don't understand. Go ahead. If you don't understand, sister will stop painting her nails now. If you don't understand, sister will stop wearing a ring now. If you don't understand, there will be no fornication now. Now my own, I know they understand. Pastor Thomas, all of you understood. Let's clap for Pastor Thomas. Pastor Thomas was very easy to understand. Because you want a mystery. Yes?
Yeah. Daddy, I want to read Matthew chapter 3, verse 4.
Chapter what?
Chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 4.
Yes?
Before I give my question. It says, and the same John, he's talking of John the Baptist.
Yes.
And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a lantern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and the wild honey. Then, in Isaiah chapter 7, sir, verse 14, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, is prophecy concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. He says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Daddy, I'm not too clear about it, because that of John the Baptist, his food was honey and locusts. And that of prophecy concerning Jesus is butter and honey as well, that he may know how to refuse evil and do good. Is there any significance concerning this very food?
Well, the only thing for us to understand those two scriptures is to look at their lifestyle, how it fulfills that. Remember, they are figuratively used. Isaiah 40 says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Verse 3, Isaiah 40. And that is the ministry of John the Baptist. Why did he say from the wilderness? For only two reasons. One, he came out from nowhere. He did not grow up among them. He lived in the bush. He lived outside the town and grew up wheresoever, but certainly not among them. That's why he was not known. And from nowhere he appeared. And he said, locusts and the honey is his food. It simply means he did not eat the normal food that people were eating. By virtue of where he came out from. So, you will not use food to deal with him. You will not use anything to harass him with it. That is my understanding. Jesus Christ, butter and honey, will he also use? I believe that all these are figurative of a lifestyle that they will adopt. And nothing more. And the history of their upbringing confirms it. They lived a life that, you know, stood them out from the rest. And maybe Pastor Thomas is adding something to it. Eh? Yes, you're confirming my answer. Yes.
It symbolized that they never lived normal human life
at all.
They lived at home.
Yes.
They never lived at home. And that was symbolized by the type of food that they eat. They didn't live a life of comfort.
That's right.
The comfort of their home. That's what it is.
Thank you. That's why I say unusual life. It's figuratively used. Yes.
Okay, sir. I have another question, sir. Sir, I listened to one preacher, Don Odunze. He titled about family liberation.
Just a moment. In case people watching us, you want to call us, please Shortly, the number will be on the screen. Just within these few minutes, to take a few questions. God bless you.
So, in this preaching of this preacher, Don Odunze, he preached about family liberation. And the first step, according to him, to family liberation is the person must be a practical born-again Christian before the family will be totally liberated. And when I read Obadiah 17, it confirms that. So my question is, sir, concerning some of the family...
Sorry. You read Obadiah 17 that confirms
Obadiah.
Obadiah 17.
Verse 17.
What did he say?
That upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and yes. holiness.
Yes.
And the children of God, Jacob shall possess their possession.
Okay. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, sir. My question is, some of the revelation we went through this church, for example, like me personally, according to what Daddy advised us, that before we go for family liberation, we must come through you with your consent. In this contacting Daddy before we left, is there anything like to do something like screaming whether we are born again or we are just merry Christian? Or rather, shall we be liberated even while we are not born again? Shall our family will be totally delivered or liberated? Or I don't know how to put it best.
You yourself, you have not asked question, no. I'm waiting for the question.
My question is, why we are still unbelievers, for example, we are not yet born again, and we went for family liberation. Shall we be liberated, or shall our family be liberated?
Liberated from who? Who will you be liberated from?
Maybe demonic attacks or...
By whose power? By which power are you going for liberation? Can Satan cast out Satan? You say you agree with the man that wrote that book. What's his name?
Don Odunze.
That you cannot go for liberation when you are not a Christian. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But you, who are you? Praise the Lord. So you have answered it. Amen. You've answered now. Satan cannot cast out Satan. In the law of redemption, your brother, your sister, your brother has been sold into slavery, and you want to redeem him from the slavery. Number one of the qualifications, among other qualifications, is that the person that will redeem must be free himself. Somebody who is in bondage cannot go and deliver somebody else who is another person who is in bondage. It's a law. That is the reason why man fell. And for man to be redeemed, it has to take a man that is not under the same course with us. And no human being was qualified to deliver us. So God himself came in the form of a human being to deliver man in Christ Jesus. So if you are not free, don't go for deliverance. You are only going to look for trouble for yourself. That's the answer.
Thank you, sir.
Now another question I thought you want to ask is, if you are born again and your family members are not born again, can you deliver the rest because you are born again? I thought that's what you want to ask. Praise the Lord. If you are sure you are born again, you want your family to be delivered, number one, go and let them give their life to Christ first. If not, by what authority are you going to deliver them? Yes, the Bible says he is looking for a man that will make an edge, stand in the gap, and make an edge. God is looking for somebody that will stand in the gap. Yes, the mercy of God can come down and deliver your family because of you. Because of Esther, the whole of Israel in Babylon, they were delivered. Yes, but remember, they were Jews. They were already covenant people. But this one now, yes, I agree. That's why we organize that deliverance program, family deliverance, every March here. God, because of you crying, can deliver your family. But as soon as that thing is broken, they must give their life to Christ. If not, the deliverance will be temporary. That is the truth. God works by a principle. Satan knows God's principle. Can't say they are delivered and then after they are going back to another shrine, so we are going to be a palo. They are going to live righteous life and expect the righteous God, a holy God, to watch over them. Laila? Okay, God bless you. So when you take people for deliverance to a family, what is responsible? They dig it out, they see it all. It's an opportunity for you to preach to them. See now, by higher power, this thing is being destroyed. If you don't give your life to Christ, you are not free. Oh? The thing will come back this time with more anger, and your condition will be worse. But as for me, I am free. Tell them. God bless you. Yes, sister.
Shalom, sir.
Yes, shalom.
Sir, Pastor Thomas made a statement that...
Pastor Thomas, I hope Pastor Thomas is still around. Thank you.
He said a sinner will be transferred...
Talk to the microphone so that we can hear you.
He said a sinner will be transferred from hellfire to the lake of fire. So that brought me to this particular question.
Did he say hellfire to lake of fire?
From hell to a lake of fire.
So, talk louder, sister.
Okay. So that is that brought me to this particular verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So my question is, this dead that will be rising, this dead in Christ that will rise, are they coming from the paradise, or are they still in the grave?
That has nothing to do... That has nothing to do with my teaching. What I said earlier was that lake of fire and hell, they are not the same thing. I said that hell is a place of torment for disobedient spirit, while lake of fire is a place of annihilation of spirits. So all those spirits that are being tormented now, when everything is concluded, they will be moved to lake of fire to annihilate them totally and completely, because now they see half life being tortured in hell. That was what I told you.
Yes, Pastor, but I have this question in my mind since last week.
That,
I wanted to ask you, Pastor, but you said we should hold on to this week. And that is why I'm using this opportunity to ask the question. The dead that will rise in Christ, are they coming from the paradise or from hell? Somebody was, I was confronted with this question, and I don't really know what to answer the person. So that's why I'm asking.
When you say the dead in Christ, which scripture did you read?
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16.
Now read verse 13 of that same chapter.
But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep.
Who have done what?
Fallen asleep.
Who have done what?
Fallen asleep.
This sleep here is the same thing it's referring to as dead in Christ. Because There is a resurrection day, therefore we are sleeping. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Yes. In the resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise. How many people will rise? We shall rise.
Hallelujah. We shall rise.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me hear you.
Praise the Lord. My question still borders on that hellfire and lake of fire. Is there anything like hellfire? And the hell, is it the same thing as purgatory? Because today, what we learned was that the hell is the place for torment, while the lake of fire is the place for final annihilation. Now one begins to ask, and he said it's a different entity. The hell and the lake of fire is a different entity. And that brings confusion to me as to...
No, there's no confusion exactly now. There are two places here. There is the lake of fire, and there is hell.
Is there hellfire?
Now, I know many of us, especially we that are evangelists, including myself, when we want to tell people if you don't die, you will end up where you end up, we call it hellfire. So it tends to confuse us, but there is nothing in the Bible like hellfire. There is only lake of fire. Hell is a place of torment for the unbelievers. When you die, where you go, there are two places for every human being that dies. There are two places you go to either of them. You either go to the place of torment or you go to paradise. Paradise is the waiting place for the saints. And it's a place of enjoyment, of rest, until the rest come and meet us there. But hell is a place of torment for every unbeliever, awaiting the time that eventually you'll be annihilated. That is the word Pastor Thomas was using. You are totally, because there is something, hell, the lake of fire, is not an eternal place. They say you keep burning forever and ever and ever and ever, forever, you are just fire, they burn you. The usage of the word forever and ever, it means for a long time. You'll be burning small. Because you must feel it. But eventually you'll be annihilated and burnt off totally. It is in the lake of fire. But the lake of fire, we only come up after the 1,000 years reign of Christ. That is in Revelation chapter 20. When the white throne judgment comes up for all those who did not go in the rapture. And for all those who will follow Satan in that short space of time that he's released from the bottomless pit. All together, you end up in the lake of fire. That is God's own place prepared to cleanse all the nyama-nyama that has existed so that purity, righteousness, holiness can dwell again in his creation. There are two different places. And there's nothing like purgatory as preached by the Catholic, Roman Catholic religion. Sir, do you hear me? There's nothing like purgatory. What is purgatory? A place to purge yourself. We purge ourselves while we are alive. We are now undergoing purgatory. All of us here. Purge yourself of every sin. That is the purging. That's purgatory, comes from the word purging. And God's purgatory is in the church. So all of us now, we're in purgatory. To wash yourself, cleanse yourself, purge yourself of every iniquity. If you die, the Bible says, appointed unto man, how many times to die? After that. No purgatory. After that, judgment. Hell or paradise. Yes, sister?
Good evening, sir.
God bless you.
Yes, sir. Please, my question is, There is this my neighbor that is married.
Just a moment, the call is coming in. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, please.
Hello, church.
Hey, Chukudi.
Hello, church. Yes. Yeah. Church, God bless you.
God bless you,
I just have a question because I'm a little bit confused in a particular place. There is a message that you preach. You said that that God created man and woman, that the apple that they eat is a sin, and you said that God did not create it for a pleasure. But I have the end message book, one of the end time message book, and I heard the man saying that that God created man to be reproductive by the spoken word. So I was a little bit confused. I don't really understand. So
praise God. Chukudi from Switzerland, God bless you. God bless you, Chukudi from Switzerland. Chukudi is always connected, is our online member. And it is there he looked us with a day here, just from there, and there is seeing wife for here. Saw one sister here. Now he chased him from Switzerland. He catch him. Make a show now the sister. Eh? Make a notion. The minister said, make a notion. Make a notion. This brother from Switzerland scattered this girl's head. Ah, sister, may God give you that type of man in the name of Jesus. Amen. The man mumu like me. When it comes to wife, woman, just as I be mumu, so that's how that man is mumu. Anything that get talk, yes, ma. Praise the Lord. As he there now, you gonna look camera, they look camera, whether you can see the girl. Even as today like this, if you look any girl by your side, they feel they chat for phone now with him. Anyway, Chukudi, listen, this is very important. That same quote you read, I have read it before. That is the thing that God used the ministry of William Branham to do. He deliberately created that confusion so that those who did not understand William Branham will hold some of those quotes and go off and leave us alone who God has ordained the message for. Yes, there is a quote. William Branham was saying something, and we found him saying that the woman will have initially, the Eve will have brought forth a child the way that Mary brought forth Jesus Christ. By what? The spoken word. The angel came to Mary and gave for thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bear a child, and the name of the child shall be called Jesus. So, what's your name, sir? Eh? Kingsley. So your husband, your father, was supposed to go and meet your mother. Thou shalt conceive in your womb. Not many days from now. And bear a child. And the name of the child shall be called Kingsley. And your mama will get belay. Praise the Lord. But the same with Abraham again was speaking. Praise the Lord. That God ordained that he will use the instrument of sexual intercourse to bring about reproduction. That is why he created the reproductive organs. Which one is more acceptable scriptural? It's the second statement. So you hold on to the one you think is right. Let those who believe that when you marry your wife, go and stand now. Post-spoken word. Why didn't William Branham, the prophet of this age, get all his children by spoken word? With all the power he had, let there be a squirrel, and the squirrel appeared from nowhere. He had the power of the spoken word to recreate. Stone be still, be still. But when it comes to reproducing all his children, he went through that sexual organs. Praise the Lord. So Chukudi, don't be confused. God bless you. But I'm happy to hear that you are reading. Yes, he's reading. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Yes. You must be reading. You must be reading to be able to catch some of these confusing statements. That was what happened when I came across this message newly. That was what was confusing me. The man will talk one thing here, then talk another. I say, I didn't want to talk this one. Why is he saying like this here again? I was so confused. Years later, I found out that what he was doing was in the Bible. It was to cause separation. Working with God is very delicate. Very, very delicate. God bless you. Yes, sister.
Okay. This my neighbor has a wife. Then after two kids, the wife commits adultery. And the wife confessed to the husband. They went to their pastor. And the pastor said the husband should forgive the wife. And the man told the pastor that, yes, he has forgiven, but he needs to take the wife to the village to go and do the traditional something. If not, he will die. And the pastor said, no, that now you are born again. You don't need those things again. And it's not up to 2 weeks and the man died. So is it wrong for a Christian to do a traditional rite after your wife commits adultery?
That's a serious one. That is a very serious matter, isn't it? Somebody say Satan is a liar. Say it again. Say it again. Listen, church. Listen. When you come to a ministry like this, listen to what we tell you. Amen. There is Christianity by religion, and there is Christianity by experience. Hey. Satan is known as the accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. If you know you are not a Christian, go and do the traditional thing, or you die for nothing. If you are not sure of yourself, don't do it as others are doing, oh. Praise the Lord. When Apostle Paul, John says, greater is he that is in me. You know he's sure there's something in him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen. Christianity is not a religion, no. Nobody goes to join a church and becomes a Christian. You can be a church member, but may not be a member of the body of Christ. That's a very serious statement I'm making. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Nobody, listen, sister, what's the name of your father?
Ella.
Eh?
Ella.
Ella.
Yes, sir.
Is he a Jew? Is he a Jew? A Latin, a Jewish name. See, how many children does your father have?
5 girls.
I didn't say whether they're men or women. Why are you advertising your family? Why are you advertising? It's not time for marketing of. Yes, I said how many children? He said 5 girls. So that these brothers will come near you immediately. Anyway, you are 5.
Yes, sir.
5 girls your father has.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How did this man become your father?
By giving birth to me.
He gave birth to you?
Yes, sir.
You are sure?
Yes, sir.
If somebody sees your father is so kind, very rich, very accommodating, anybody that has problem, you come around him, he helps, and decided to leave their father and come and join your family and change his name. What's your father's name? Ella.
Yes, sir.
And becomes Ngozi Ella. Will that action make that person your father's child?
No, sir.
That is how many people are in Christianity. And the foundation of God standing sure. Having this seed, the Lord knoweth them that are his. How do you become a Christian? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. By one spirit are we baptized into the body. You are born again by a baptism of the Holy Ghost bringing you into the body of Christ. Not by putting your name in any church register or belonging to a group in any church register. It's more than that. That's why preachers teach your people correct Christianity. There are people who are members of Bride Assembly, but they are not members of the Bride of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, examine yourself if you be in the faith. You see? So, my advice is that man die for nothing. That man died for nothing. See, I read in the newspaper some few years back. A man in the morning was going to church with his Bible. Ritual killer stopped him on the way. Kidnapping put him inside motor. And he was busy singing his Christian song. And he asked him, where are you people taking me to? He said, shut up, we are taking you to sacrifice you. The man laughed. He said, you cannot. He said, can a man be sacrificed 2 times? Oh! Hallelujah! They were asking, what do you mean? He said, I have already sacrificed my life to Christ. He is under a sacrifice. Can a man sacrifice his life 2 times? If he can sacrifice 2 times, then take me for the sacrifice. As soon as they landed and the Babalawo came out and sighted him, he said, who bring this kind one here? The shrine rejected him. You cannot be sacrificed more than once. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had a testimony of a sister in this church that they also kidnapped them on the road and took them somewhere. Yes, inside that vehicle, there was a pregnant woman there. That pregnant woman, after she put to bed, she called me to thank me. She said she was coming here. I don't know whether maybe she came, I don't know. Yes, that God used your church member to save all of us. What happened? This sister was kidnapped and sent down there. And they were awaiting their turn to be slaughtered. They were seen as they were slaughtering other people. They are the fresh set of people they brought. They stayed one side. Suddenly, he says, sweat. Who no go sweat? You are seeing yourself, you are dying. Sweat was coming out of her body. Then she opened her bag to bring out the handkerchief we have consecrated here. She forgot that it was even a consecrated handkerchief. She just wanted to clean her sweat. She cleaned her sweat, and the young man that was watching over them said, "Young girl," they joke with her. "Bring the handkerchief." Now they joke with her, collected the handkerchief. He said, "One rubber for his face." Now he fires that. Fire, the man, fire. Then all the Baba, all the ritual people, they came out. What did happen? Fire. They said, "Who brought this?" The man, they shall see how. Then they said, "Oh yeah, collect your thing, carry your bag, go." Now the girl said, "I will not go unless all these people will come with me, follow me." That's how they say, "Oh yeah, all of you go. All of you go." That is how they saved that woman with her pregnancy. Amen. You know it was not the handkerchief that did it. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, "Lord, I am with you always." Under a covenant. If you are just an ordinary church member and you have not received that experience that gives you the assurance that you can sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is my. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine." If you can say it, "Head of salvation.
Purchase of blood.
Oh, yes.
Born of the Spirit.
And washed
in His blood."
What is your story?
This is my story.
That's your testimony.
This is my song. Praise Him, my Savior. Honor.
Perfect submission. Listen.
Perfect submission. Perfect delight. Visions of rapture.
Because we don't belong here.
Of my side.
Candidates of rapture.
Angels descending. Bring from above.
What is your story, brother?
This is my story.
That's my testimony.
This is my song.
That is my testimony.
Praise my Savior. Praising my Savior. Honor the Lord.
This is my story.
This is my song.
Hallelujah. There's a song in our hymn book that says, Faith each
heavenly joy. Jesus is my.
Sing it.
Bring every tender life.
Oh,
Jesus is my.
Oh,
we shall be.
Is the wilderness.
Let us rest in peace.
Yes, sir.
Jesus alone.
Oh, Jesus.
Sing it again. Faith each heavenly joy. Jesus.
That is the testimony of a Christian.
Every tender time, Jesus is my
wilderness.
That is our wilderness.
Oh,
and our rest in
Jesus the Lord can bless.
Jesus the Lord can bless.
Oh,
Jesus, He is
my sister, the Bible says we overcome the accuser of the brethren with what?
By the blood of the Lamb.
The blood of the Lamb. And what? What about testimonies? The life that we live. Don't go and claim what you are not. Hallelujah. That's why I say, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I
see the blood,
every shrine will pass over you. Every demon will pass over you. A true Christian, if they carry you to a shrine, that shrine will reject you. Without prayers. Amen. God will never allow himself to be disgraced like that. That blood is still speaking. So please, any of you listening to me now, if you are not born again, and something that pertains to your life and death, you better go and do it. Oh. Go and do it. Oh. Because you are neither here nor there. You are finished. God bless you. I think I don't answer your question.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Sister Ella, five sisters. There are five of them in case, please, you want to. You're looking for, just go to Ella's house. Five of them are there. Yes?
Praise the Lord, Pastor. Sir, my question goes on to this teaching about the forgiveness because of the mind of Christ. And my question goes
to this. Well, Christ still doesn't work.
God bless you.
Hello.
Go on, we're hearing you.
Okay, my name is Michael. I'm calling from Netherlands.
From Netherlands, Michael, right? Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Good day, church. Pastor, going back to the question the lady Ella asked, tying back to the adoption, because you say you have to be sure you're a Christian when you're faced with such a scenario. But many of us are not fortunate to see vision or to have a divine supernatural event to confirm. Hello?
Go ahead, we're hearing you.
Okay, I was saying many of us are not fortunate to have a kind of like a supernatural event, like seeing visions or having a visitation of angels to confirm the salvation. We walk by faith, basically. And this is the attitude for me personally, trying to be conformed to the image of Jesus and just walking by faith. And so, is it compulsory? Does there have to be a supernatural event in the sense? That's my question. Thank you very much.
Sorry, before you cut off, to confirm you are a Christian or not, or what? Oh. I don't know if anybody understood that. Supernatural, to confirm what? You will have to call back. You walk with by faith and you're trying to live a life to conform to the image of Christ. And you are saying you have not received any experience that can confirm to you that you're a Christian. If that is your question, the answer is very simple. Yes, we walk by faith. But faith has a substance to hold on to. It's a faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Whatever you say, I have faith, I believe that I am going to heaven if I die today, there is something that must make you believe so. You will never have faith until God gives you something to have that faith upon. Now, and everyone that is born again knows he's born again. I've answered this question several times. My brother from Netherlands. We're talking about now the evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. The evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. You cannot talk of evidence until you get to know the purpose of the Holy Ghost. The purpose of the Holy Ghost seen in you becomes the evidence. So what is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? My Pentecostal pastors and brethren that says the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. I say, no, you are wrong. God did not give us Holy Ghost so that we shall speak in tongues. That's not the reason Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. God's, amen. He came to his own, John chapter 1, verse 10. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. To do what? To become the sons of God. Amen. The power to become a son of God is the power that transforms a sinner to a saint. So, how do I know what is the evidence that I am born again? How is the same answer? How do I know that this is a mango tree? How will I know it is a mango tree? The fruit. Let me know this is a mango. Oh, glory be to God. The Bible says a tree is known by her fruits. So how will I know that you have the Holy Ghost? There is also the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. When you see yourself expressing those fruits and hating sin, then you know that it is not by your power. There is something working in you for that. If a man be in Christ through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's a new creature. All lifestyle is gone. You yourself, you will know that there is a change in me. And everybody, nobody, you're going to tell people, say, see, I'm born again, oh, I'm born again, oh. They will see you, say, eh, Kelechi. Now you be this. You don't be drink beer again. Eh? You know they smoke again. What the apple? I said, you won't understand. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature. And it's not you trying to live like others. It is a supernatural thing that takes place. All that test just dies. And suddenly there is a fear of God in you. And there is a love of God. More love in you. You love the things of God. There's just a transformation around you. A positive transformation. Why we say fruit? Not the gift, because the gift is an anointing, and it can come on the just and the unjust. So don't use somebody's anointing to determine whether he's a Christian or not. It is the fruit. Because there are some prophets that are fornicators. There are pastors that are fornicators. There are evangelists that conduct deliverance, and then they pour anointing oil, and then they rub the girl's breast, say that they don't do that for deliverance. And they are doing it in the name of Jesus, and they are shaking under vibration, and they are kissing you under anointing. Praise the Lord. By their fruit, not by their gifts, you shall know them. So, brother, that is how you know whether you're a Christian or not. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sir, my question goes on this today's teaching on forgiveness because of Christ. Then my question goes that if somebody that destroyed your future, your career, that make you fatherless, make you to suffer for many years for what you don't know, then after about 20 years, 30 years, you came to know that, this person, my uncle, my brother, make me not to be somewhere like that, make me fatherless. Then how would I forgive him? Then if I will forgive him, then why did God not forgive Cain and God curse Cain? And the Bible says, suffer not all the wicked to live. Ask my question, sir.
Suffer not
the wicked to live. Yes. For the wicked to live. Then why did God not forgive Cain and God destroyed Cain and curse Cain? Then you expect me, because I'm a Christian. Have a question.
This man don't vex with God. He don't vex with God. Praise the Lord. Listen, church, listen. Listen. Well, let me correct it. It said, suffer not a witch to live, not the wicked. Suffer not a witch not to live. He said, you should not suffer a witch to live. How did he put it? Suffer not a witch to live. He didn't say, suffer not the wicked to live. No, he only said, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. And God said, there is no peace to the wicked. There's no peace to the wicked. Okay. Now your own is, why should God tell you to forgive somebody who frustrated your life, and you would have been better than this if not for the frustration for that man? Well, the Bible says, can we open it? Philippians chapter 9. Chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. There's a statement there. Amen. When you are going to follow this Christ. Also, okay, let's read. There is one verse, one statement there I want to borrow. Philippians chapter 2. This is the way he put it in verse 5. One verse, only one verse. What did he say? Can we all read it together? Let's go. Say it again. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, First Peter chapter 2, let me read it from verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That is the mind that must be in you. He was hanging on the cross there. While he had all the power to blind all of them. As a statement he made. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And our destiny is to be conformed to his image. If you're going to be a Christian, then you will not think the way you are thinking now. Praise the Lord. Let me also tell you something. That which God has destined for you, no wicked man can stop it. No wicked man can delay it. No wicked man can hinder it. Praise the Lord. Why? I have examples in the Bible. I have Joseph. His brothers hated him. See what he suffered. But the same Joseph, who was an ordinary man like you and me, when he now had all the power to do and to undo, to kill and to make alive, now he's a king. The enemies that suffered him, that rejected him, came now before him at his mercy. And when he revealed himself to them, they knew they were finished. He said, no, don't worry. God is the one that arranged it like that, so that we can save your life, so your life to be saved. You see where he was going. John the Revelator, in the Isle of Patmos, he was sent there by the enemy. They did everything as the last apostle to die among those 12 disciples. They did everything for the man to die like others. He couldn't die. History said they put him into a drum of oil and cooked him so that he would die. When they opened the oil, the man did kakaraka, he no die. Then that was when they said, this is not a normal human being. They threw him to that island of Patmos where there are only wild beasts and hope that one wild animal there will kill him. But when he received other revelation in that condition, he said that I, John, was in the Isle of Patmos for the revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't say I was there, but the enemies complaining. They are the one that put me here to suffer here. Blah, 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 blah. He never mentioned it. Apostle Paul was put inside the prison yard. Look, too many examples. Too many examples. Paul and Silas, they were in the prison yard. Do you know that God took them there because of the Philippian jailer? At midnight, they were crying, Abby. Eh? They were crying. Eh? Praise the Lord. At midnight, they praised God. They prayed. They praised God. And the prisoners heard it. Suddenly, somebody tonight, suddenly something will happen to you. Suddenly something will happen to you here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have to understand that every man, a child of destiny, everything you go through in life is just to help you fulfill your destiny. Until you do that, you will have enemies with everybody around. That's why I love that song. My heart shall sink when I pause to remember a heartache is born a stepping stone,
a stepping stone
along the trail, along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final hope,
but until then.
Daddy. Say it again. Whatever is your situation.
But until then, we joy.
I'll carry on
till the day.
Until the day.
My eyes see all I see.
Until the day. Let me hear the sisters. Sisters, sing it. Until then, sisters. Thank you. You know why some of them are sing out? Now there's supposed to be crumble pass. God, you did that. They look weird. Don't they know it is 40? I don't know how far up to now. If this year pass, I don't know. What do you go to? Go park it at my house. I'll be waiting. Then you are looking for your uncle's wife, your stepmother, your stepfather, your uncle. Your uncle has no power over you except God allows it. And if God allows it, it is a stepping stone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's along the way, along the road. It's winding always. It's winding. He said, this troubled world is not my final home. This world is not my hope. I'm just a passenger.
My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels stand for me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Say it, everybody.
Oh, you know. I have no friend like you. The
devil is not
my home. Then Lord, what would I do? The angels fell
for me. From heaven's open door. And I can't be like, you are looking for peace in this world as a Christian, forget it. It is battle until we go home. So, buckle yourself. I hope I've answered you. Stop fighting with God. He will tell you all things work together for good. That's all he will answer you. He will add there in every circumstance. Give thanks, for that is his will concerning you in Christ Jesus. That's all. Amen. Yes, my sister. Please, let only this one stand in. Let's finish and let's pray. Yes.
Good morning, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, I want to ask, my grandfather offended a shrine, and the shrine now killed my grandfather. I came back to
not
my father.
So, sorry, there's a call coming in.
Why did you? We know it's very important.
Hello?
Lonnie from UK.
Hello?
Hello?
God bless you. We're hearing you.
My name is Lonnie from UK.
From?
Lonnie from UK.
God bless you. We're hearing you.
Hello? Hello, Pastor Sharon.
God bless you. Shalom.
Okay, Sharon, church.
Shalom.
Pastor, on a women's program,
Yes.
I was watching the women program. So after the stop now, I had a dream that night. And that night, I was crying concerning women. You know, God was just showing me something concerning women. God was interested in women. And then all the things they were doing, I was just crying and I was screaming concerning the teaching that day in my dream. So as soon as I woke up, I went and cut my hair, the hair that there's feminine in it. I cut all of them.
That's right.
And God is interested. That's the heaven and hell. God is not happy about women, the way they are questioning about this earring and all these things. All those things will not stop them from making. Let them just focus on that heaven, because God is not happy.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I just thank God. I thank Pastor Moses Allen. Pastor, continue. God will bless you.
I will, oh, I will continue. I will, oh, you have fired me more now, sir. Thank you for this fuel that you have fueled me now. Yes, now. Praise the Lord. It's true. God is interested in the women. He has always been interested in the women. The reason is because Satan is very, very interested too in the women. So it's only natural that what Satan is interested in, God too will be very interested in it. And that's why he comes down to tell you, don't do certain things because of the demonic influences around those things in this age. I am happy that there is somebody that is just watching us through our broadcast, and something is happening to their soul. She went and removed all the nyama nyama she put on her head. While she's removing it there, some sitting down here, they are going to buy a fresh one and put on top. You see what we mean? Amen. God will use Sister Noye to judge you, because you have no excuse. She's living where it is their fashion there. It has become almost like their tradition there. But she has had something and saw also a confirmation through her dream that lets her know that something is wrong with these things that the Spirit of God is telling us not to put on. May God also give somebody here that type of dream in the name of Jesus. Why must you come for dream first? The one where I talk, never do. Linda, talk him. We talk him. William Branham said it to the Americans and to the whole world. We are echoing it here now. Re-echoing it here. God bless you, sister, for that wonderful testimony. I know the seed of God is hearing you now. Hallelujah. Yes, sister.
So, Daddy, the thing now happened that the shrine now took my father away and collected what my grandfather
had. That is, took your grandfather away.
And my father.
And your father joined him.
It was actually the one that took my mom also.
Take to the microphone.
Talk. Hello?
The shrine.
Oh, so call it coming again. Sorry, my sister.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, God bless you.
My name is Tom from Portugal.
From where?
From Portugal.
Portugal. God bless you. Speak on. We are hearing you.
Okay.
God bless you.
My question is it right someone here in Europe worshipping here in Europe to hold his eyes in Africa?
Hello? We are sorry we lost that call. Okay, let's hear you, sister. We didn't hear you. Maybe you call again if time will permit us.
My grandfather.
Talk to microphone, yes.
My grandfather offended the shrine.
Yes, we know. We have run up to where your mama said go.
So
yes?
My mom died, so the shrine, after like 25 years later now, the shrine is trying to show interest in we that not even know my grandfather from anywhere. And he's trying to like come back to take one of our lives, one of my brother's life, and some ministers and the prophecy is just coming out. And the offense is that when they pleaded to the shrine, because they actually went to plead to the shrine, and the shrine accepted. So the shrine said that they did not come back to thank him for accepting. So he has to come back and take somebody away again. And the shrine is just this heavy shrine that in the village that's so critical that.
Dr. Microphone.
It's so critical that.
Very wicked.
Very wicked. Very, very wicked.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something, church. Listen. Listen carefully. Are you a member of this church?
I used to come for prayers.
Have you been baptized?
Yes.
Where?
Here in this church.
You've been baptized here. Have you received the Holy Ghost? But you have been trying to live your life the best you can as a Christian.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, church, and everybody else listening to me. Satan can only work on your ignorance when you are a believer. Satan can only work on your ignorance as a believer. It's a young man that was giving me testimony. I spoke with you on Thursday. Are you here tonight? I forgot your name. The one that was an explosion in your room. Are you here? Come, brother. Amen. Don't worry, we will show his interview very, very shortly. But, brother, this young man, come this way so that, are you married yet? Eh?
No, sir.
Sister, are you married? Is it a bad question? I just want to know now whether she don't marry or not. Anything can happen. See, listen. You need to know that Satan knows more about salvation than many of these blind preachers. See, when the Bible says the accuser of the brethren is overcome by the blood of the Lamb, you don't know the weight of that statement. Verse 32, John chapter 8. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son of Man shall set you free, you are free indeed in totality. These are no ordinary statements in the Bible. He said, we have come to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. They are not ordinary statements in the New Testament. Amen. You had a lot of problems.
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
And after your water baptism, what happened? Tell them, let them hear small.
After
or do you want to meet her later and share it with her?
No, sir.
Eh?
No, sir.
No, tell us some, then the rest. Sir, two of you can talk later. Go ahead.
Sir, do I tell her about my receiving Holy Ghost or other experiences?
The differences you received after that your experience.
Well, after my experience, I had a lot of deliverances.
Yes.
And upon one of which is very, very unique, is I was in a dream. After prayers, I was taken to my village. Can you hear me? Hello. So I was in the dream. I was taken to my village. And in that dream, I found out that hand of a dead man was holding my hand, my right hand. And not only that, inside me, I was feeling a heavy, like over 100 kg, right inside my body. Then I went to my family in that dream. I showed myself to my family. I said, could you help me and pull off this hand? They said, even 10 people cannot help me. I said, do you want to allow me to die like this? They said, whatever. So I started dragging myself to a particular road. I got to a point, a voice spoke to me. I said, in the name of, command this hand to fall off in the name of Jesus. So I said, in the name of Jesus, this hand fall off. One voice came and spoke to me and said, this will not be the one where the name of Jesus go do. I said, lie. I took like 3 steps. And the same voice spoke to me again. I said, pull off this hand. I held the hand and I put it off. The hand fell off. So when I raised up my hand, said, thank you, Lord Jesus, my hand will be light. If I pull it down, it will be heavy. So I still noticed that the one in my body was very heavy. So I continued managing. I got to a point, the road covered like bush. I wanted to take like a bypass. At that point, I noticed I went inside a thick forest again. And the same voice spoke to me and said, speak to that thing that is in your body. Then I started speaking to that the thing in my body. I didn't know what it was. At a point, a demon came out of me. Without legs, without hand. And she stood on my legs and faced me face to face. And I continued speaking to that demon. And the demon started crying. I asked the demon, what did I do to you? The demon said, I saw a dead person. I said, I will beat you. I said, when did I say that? She said, it's not even the problem that she's about leaving. She's about leaving. I should hurry up. So at that point, she said, I should bring out my tongue. I said, for. Before I knew it, I brought out my tongue. She touched my tongue and it was like an acid, kind of. And she told me that she will never see me again in life.
Amen.
So that was one of them. There's a lot of them.
Clap your hands now. But watch it. I want you to hear concerning the story of his water baptism. Which church were you before you came here?
I was in United Evangelical Church, formerly called Kwaiboy Church.
Kwaiboy Church.
Yes.
Are you from Calabar?
No, sir. I'm from Igbo.
Imo?
Igbo.
Igbo?
Yes, sir. I'm from Abia State.
Abia State. And you went to Kwaiboy Church. Go ahead.
So, when I came here, actually the first time I came here, I heard him speaking about water baptism, and at that point, I rushed and baptized. I'll just say, okay, let me
what made you to rush and baptize that day?
Just for my deliverance.
Were you not baptized in your former church?
I was baptized before.
Then why did you go out again to baptize?
I had a word. I noticed, yes, you are saying the truth, but within me, I just wanted to satisfy your preaching. So I just went and baptized. After that baptism, after some time, you still notice that, no. And I still continue hearing the preaching. I say, no, this baptism was not right because I did not do it according to what I've seen in the Bible now. Though I did it in the name of Jesus, but no. So at a point, I said I became worried. I said, okay, I will baptize again. I'll baptize again. Then before that one, I started praying. 3 to 4 days before that, the new one I wanted to do, I continued praying. Only one prayer point. Say, God, I want to baptize. And after baptism, baptize me with the Holy Ghost. And not just to like tell me I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost. Give me an experience. Because I've never fallen under anointing before. Say, if truly you baptize me, daddy, let me fall under anointing. Then 3 days, I continue praying the prayer point. It's Tuesday, one Tuesday I came here. They were calling another prayer point, so I didn't care. I was praying under one prayer point. Say, just that baptism and Holy Ghost. That's just the only thing I wanted. Then that day, I noticed that when after the baptism, I came back, we came out here for the Holy Ghost ministration. I continued the same prayer. Before you know it, I felt the force pushing me like backwards. I resisted that force. The force I couldn't. Hey. It was dragging me so back, like 5-9 steps backwards. I noticed the coordinator wanted to hold me. I pushed him off. And before I know, I was on the ground. From that day, the rest is story.
Hey, put your hands together now. And it is after that he began to have all those experiences in the spirit for his deliverance. You know why I bring this? God bless you, sir. They will hear the full text of your testimony. Is very interesting. Very, very interesting. You will hear it much later, some other time. But listen, when the Bible says we are overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ, and there is a blood of sprinkling, the blood of Jesus Christ, that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel, that lets you know the importance of water baptism. So important. That's why Satan made sure the generality of Christendom in this age know nothing. He made sure they do it wrongly. And most churches, they do it wrongly. I say it again. Most churches, they do that wrongly. And let me tell you, amen. Amen. For those of us who want to be a little bit sentimental about it, Jesus Christ made two statements in the Bible that are so important to the whole world. One, to the whole world, religious world, who are all seeking the means of reaching out to the creator of the heavens and the earth, because every human being knows there is a creator somewhere. He told the whole world, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no religion, no man coming to the Father except by me. By that, he has packed all of them and put them one side. No matter how many millions or billions are following your religion, this is thus said the Lord. Then those who say they identify with Jesus, he has another statement for you. God is seeking for worshippers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. It means you can worship him in error and you can worship him in the flesh. That's why he said, ye shall know the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apostle John told us how to identify the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And Apostle Paul also added his own. If anybody preaches any other thing contrary to what we have preached, let that person be accursed. Even if an angel comes and preaches contrary to what they have preached, let that angel be accursed. He said, even if him come back to say anything different from what they have spoken, let he himself be accursed. The certainty of the scriptures. Church, there is correct baptism and wrong baptism. It's in the Bible. We say this every Tuesday. We gather here and give the people of God opportunity to be baptized. Some, instead of holding on to the word of God, they are holding on to the word of their G.O. Yes. I'm saying this. Maybe there's one person here now that will be baptized. John Paul told me he has a group of some carnal people that are going to be baptized this morning. They have repented. They are new creatures. I don't want to tell you who they are, but I don't want to tell you who they are. But please, there will be baptism this morning, correct? Pastor John Paul. Am I correct? Chijoke, is it correct? Are we baptizing this morning? Eh? The water is ready? The baptismal dress is ready? Maybe there is somebody here. That's why this question is coming up now. Don't waste your time. Go and join them. It's not because you are baptizing in this church, that's why it makes it correct. But because you are baptizing according to the Bible. If you don't have chance to baptize here today, baptize anywhere you go according to the Bible. And baptism in this Bible is by immersion. And it is according to Matthew 28 verse 19. You are to baptize according to that commandment in the name. Somebody shout name. Say very loud. Say name. Say name. That's where the mistake is now. I'm sorry. There must be people watching us now for the first time. And there may be some people, there must be somebody coming here for the first time. Can I see your hand up? Just wave your hand if today is your first time. First time. Oh, God bless you. Thank you very much. Can we clap our hands for bringing them our way? Amen. My time don't go. We want to pray. But if one soul at the end of today baptizes, I have saved somebody. That means this service today is complete. That means this service today is blessed. Listen, church. Matthew 28 verse 19 is the problem of all the denominations. The interpretation, the understanding of verse 19 of Matthew 28. Go and baptize. Can you screen it? Matthew 28 verse 19. Everybody knows it. Every Christian knows that. Just as they know John 3:16. That is how they know 28 verse 19, Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, one name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So correct baptism is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean that somebody wants to be baptized, you will carry the person to the water and say, according to Matthew 28 verse 19, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Put the person inside water and bring her out. You have not yet baptized in the name. Thank you. You fail. Every father has a name. Every son has a name. Every human being has a name. If you say baptize in the name of the Father, it means the Father has a name. And that name, Jesus, is the name of the Father, is the name of the Son, is the name of the Holy Ghost. That is the name that is above every other name. It's the name that we cast out devils. It's the name that we pray with. Hallelujah. That is the name for our redemption. At the mention of that name, everything in heaven will bow. Because it is the name of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He gave that name to his Son. The name of the Son is the name of the Father. Because the Father is in the Son, reconciling the world to himself. Therefore, he placed his name where he is. The Holy Ghost, the Son said, the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name. John 14 verse 26. The Holy Ghost is coming in the name of the Son. And the name of the Son is Jesus. Therefore, the Holy Ghost is coming in the name of Jesus. I come in my Father's name. John chapter 5 verse 43. You will not receive me, but if another come in his name, him you will receive. That means the name of the Son is the name of the Father. That is why every baptism in the New Testament was done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every baptism, you don't hear Father, Son, Holy Ghost anywhere. You must do it with understanding. Once you do that and you come out, you have entered into a covenant. And the covenant that your forefather had cannot have any more power over you. Once you enter that water and come up, the power that the enemy has over you is automatically broken. And now you can quote the scripture. Do you have your Bible here? Screen Ezekiel chapter 18 for me. Screen Ezekiel chapter 18 for me. Listen, this is thus said the Lord. From verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, again, saying, what mean you that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? Who ate the grape? Who called the whose teeth they get the problem? Now the children eat them. Maybe who eat them in teeth go suffer. Why the father go eat them? We will go to suffer. Verse 3. As I live, say the Lord God, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinned, he shall die. Go to verse 19. Yet, say ye why, does not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes, and has done them, he shall surely live. Verse 20. The soul that sinned, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him, says the Lord. If I am a member of that family, I will go with my Bible before that shrine and open it. And speak to that shrine. If true, true, you be a real shrine, look where. I have been disconnected from that covenant. I plead that blood of Jesus against you. And if you try anything, if anybody get a headache for my family, I'll come and burn you to ashes. And you go. Nothing will happen. I said nothing will happen. Somebody jump up and shout, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you not happy you're a Christian? Oh. That's why I love to sing. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He went for me.
Savior
went for me.
On the way.
All the way to Calvary. Say it again. Hallelujah.
All the way to Calvary.
That's the power of
God.
Oh, yes.
My Savior went for me. On the way to Calvary. For me.
Oh, he
died.
Jesus comes,
that death of power is broken. When Jesus comes, our tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills my life with glory.
Oh, yes.
All is
saved. Say it again.
Jesus comes to stay.
Hallelujah.
When Jesus comes.
They ask me why I'm happy,
so I just tell them why.
Because
my sins are gone.
And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say,
my sins
are gone.
Where are they?
Oh, they are
underneath the blood,
yes,
on the cross of Calvary.
Say.
Jesus,
hey.
Under the blood.
God bless you. Be seated. There is a sister that came from Italy one time. Gave her life to Christ here. Suffering from cancer. After water baptism, the cancer disappeared. She saw God raw. Nobody told her what to do. Nobody. She did it by herself. She packed sand from the church. I went to her village. Say her father was highly occultic. The man died. But there's a room there. Nobody could enter for more than 20 years. That room must not be open. But that is where every child with their name written on pot, where they carry them go. Stay all her life in Europe. They are nothing working. Married for 15 years. Nothing. No issue. Nothing. They work. Of all that, death. They gave her how many months to live because of the cancer. She came to Nigeria here. Just let me make it right with God so that when I die, I will go heaven. May God honor her faith, healed her. She took sand, she opened the door, located her own pot, and spoke to the pot. I have been disconnected from you by the blood of Jesus. From today, the power you have over me is broken. In the name of Jesus, she carried that sand. She's practical. Nobody told her. She didn't carry her like the little people go. There's something knowledge does. There's something revelation does. It gives you boldness and confidence. She said smoke was coming out of that. She was about running. Said a voice spoke to her. Stand up, face it, and plead the blood. They took she and left the room and went out. That's how she got her deliverance. Amen. And she told her remaining relations, me, I don't go. He remain with her. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In this church, before we move to this place, it happened. Dayo, Jayola, Boboye, you remember? On Sunday service like this, I was preparing to take over from the person that I was supposed to preach. I heard it. The Lord spoke to me 3 times because I was arguing with him. The first time he said, you will not preach. I want to deliver somebody. I couldn't argue. I said, we do VG Friday. You don't deliver. Now, Sunday, why I want to preach? Now you want to deliver. Which spirit they talk to me like this? No, I mean they hear a word. So what I talk again? Just as I was about going to take over, he said it louder. Then I gave up. I said, I don't know. God said, I want to deliver somebody. I want to preach. I don't know who the person is. You know, show me who he be. And we started singing and praying. And suddenly something began to happen. And a woman, anointing carried her, brought her out. And suddenly anointing struck another gifted sister in the congregation. Thus said the Lord, that this woman has something to confess. Unless she confesses, she will not be delivered. We were watching her and suddenly she opened her mouth and said, I am the one that tied my husband and my 5 children. And you need to see how that family was suffering. It takes the grace of God for that man to still live with that woman after. Why I remember the story is, that thing that was on her, she went mad. For 1 week, she was like that. Brother Boboye, you were there. For 1 week, we had to take that sister. Two or three ministers took her. They are battling because she wanted to naked herself. To her hometown at Oweri. Located the father. Do you know anything about this woman? Because she's saying so many things that, you know. Well, the summary of the story was that we saw her senior sister say, ah, when did she return that throw? In the family, this is, that she knew it. She was in deeper life. That she prayed herself away from that shrine. Where is the shrine? Inside the bush. Bush inside. Bush, forest. Brother Elias, he was the one that went. He went and then they brought the woman before the shrine. And the minister said, you shrine, together with her husband. This woman, see her husband here. She's married. The marriage between you and her today is broken in the name of Jesus. Now, release her or I will burn you to ashes now with fire. And he was counting. He was a no-nonsense deliverance minister. One, two. Suddenly, the woman came to her and said, hey, where am I? Hey? That's how they knew it was over. They brought her back. That is how she received her deliverance till today. I'm telling you about something the knowledge does, sister. When the devil can get you to be afraid, he has finished you. In fact, you have died before he kills you. You know where the shrine is?
I don't even know where it is.
You don't know where it is? Amen. If you know where it is, I will have sponsored 2 Aladelidu ministers here to go with you to that village. The day you discover where that shrine is, let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. Come, time don't do. One pray. Time don't do. What happened now? Understand, sis. Okay, small question. Small. No long question. Yes?
God bless you, sir.
Small. Now you carry book.
Okay, no, sir.
As you ask now.
Go ahead. From
my name is Bridget. I'm calling from Delta State.
God bless you. Speak on.
I want to ask a question.
Yes, we are hearing you.
My question is this. Through the pastor's preaching, I want to correct some errors.
Correct me now.
Through the pastor's preaching, I want to ask a question. My question is this. I used to sell drinks.
Bridget, can you hear me? Bridget, can you hear me?
Some errors in my life.
Bridget, can you hear me?
Should I set the air or should I leave it? That is what I want to know.
You sell what? What do you sell, beer?
Yes, I can hear you.
You sell beer?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
You sell beer like Star, Gulda, Guinness, Ogogoro?
I sell something like Star. Yes. With hot, yes.
God bless you, Sister Bridget. Do you go to church? Bridget, do you go to church? Okay. Listen to me, Bridget. There are some jobs that we do That after we have given our life to Christ and our eyes of understanding open to see that the businesses that we do are contrary to what the Holy Spirit, the Bible expects of us, the next thing to do is to change that line of business. Christians don't operate beer parlor. Christians don't sell alcohol. So I will advise you, change your business and sell some other things other than those drinks. God bless you. Yes?
Okay, sir. So the pastor, when he was preaching, he said, someone can be born again and yet might not reach the stage of adoption. So what I want to know is
the
that...
The stage of what?
Adoption. So I want to know, because the Bible called Holy Spirit the Spirit of adoption. And when we are baptized in the Spirit, that means we have received Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of adoption. Now, I want to understand...
Excuse me, sir.
...better.
He said, now you talk on. Yes, come now.
Hey, brother, we are listening.
So, sir, I want to know, because the Bible called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of adoption. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have received the Spirit. But you said one might be born again, and yet you have not reached the stage of adoption. I want to understand better.
Were you here when I was teaching, or were you sleeping?
And I was not sleeping, sir.
Why not ask question when I was, because when I'm teaching, I want people to ask question. Anybody can answer him? Anybody that can answer him? Because it was well laid down, precept upon precept. Can I answer him, brother? Stand up. Answer him. I want to know whether you understand what I was saying.
Well, you said when the person is born again, we have attained that position, that position now, perfection.
That's right.
But you still need to graduate to the relation perfection. That is, it's continual.
Maturity.
Going to maturity.
That's right.
Before you can get to the ultimate perfection.
Praise the Lord, you try. Clap your hands for him. Now, brother, what we are saying, let me amplify it. He got it. I said, when you are born again, potentially you are now a child of God. Amen? You are a child of God. When Isaac was born, Isaac was the son of Abraham, was he not? Was he not? Was he given placement within that time he was born? No. Isaac grew up in character and in stature to a position that Abraham can trust him. That Abraham can commit it to his hand. That Abraham, that at that point, Isaac can go and sign contract, it will be as good as Abraham has signed it. That was, I think, I say, when Christ said, if you see me, you are seeing my Father. It means the Father has so much trust him, according to the book of Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5. The Father has so trusted the Lord Jesus Christ that he has committed the authority into his hand, that whatever the Lord has done, the Father has done it. Amen? Now, that the Spirit you receive is the Spirit of adoption. That Spirit has given to you to enable you grow into adoption. Because it is by that Spirit that you'll be able to overcome all the works of the flesh that draws you back as a child of God. And then I let you understand that as a child of God, you will grow into the Son of God. But when you are born again, potentially you are a child of God. But you need to go through tutorship into maturity. You understand me now?
Bless, sir. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, I have one for you, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For me?
No, sir, I'm clear, sir.
Okay.
No, further to him, open Galatians chapter 4. Open Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 3. He says, now I say, brother, look at the screen. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differed nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Verse 2. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. That's the answer to your question.
Thank you, sir. So the second one. This language of the Bible, the word adoption, when we check the English dictionary, it means somebody that is not a genuine son of that family. He was brought into that family. So I want to know then why the Bible uses it that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we have received the spirit of adoption. When we have been foreordained and predestinated by God, even before we were born, why should we be adopted?
Okay, when you read the Bible, read it in the context of usage. In presenting salvation for us to understand, Apostle Paul, in talking to the Gentiles, he looked at it through this way. Remember, he told us that we are not even the original branch. He said we were a wild branch that was grafted onto the vine. That is the Gentiles. Does that mean that it was by mistake? No. Before the foundation of the world, God had settled that. Then, when he comes here again, he wants you to appreciate all what he was saying, what Apostle Paul, in trying to explain the wild vine that was engrafted to the vine. He was trying to let you know that you should not be puffed up. That the original one that broke up because of disobedience, it was cut off. How much more you that were brought in from somewhere and just grafted there to make you appreciate salvation. Now, in another way again, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are condemned to death according to the spiritual law. We are lost and gone. The process of coming back is like going to adopt somebody who had no hope. To make you appreciate your salvation, Apostle Paul uses that language.
Thank you, sir.
God bless
you. God bless you, sir. Sir, the last one, sir. Can a born-again Christian still commit, a truly born-again, commit sin, especially deliberate sin?
Yes. Galatians chapter 5 says, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So it depends on who you yield yourself to. You are born again. If you don't allow the Holy Ghost to lead you, the flesh will lead you. Yes. God bless
you. Thank you, sir. God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Yes, sister.
Good morning, sir.
Yes.
My question is not for this teaching this morning. When I was 10, I know a group of people who they used to call William or Abraham. But this question, I'm supposed to have asked this question 5 years ago.
Hello.
This is the last question from phone. Please, thank you. We want to.
My name is Kenneth Idama. Kenneth, from Fara State.
God bless you.
Please, I want to ask. Somebody wants to get married, and mistakenly, the guy wants to marry by making love to her. Hello.
Ask your question again.
By making. Somebody wants to marry a sister and he made a mistake by falling in love, making love to that sister. Hello?
Yes.
And they are not yet married. And he wants to marry the sister, but he has gone to the bed with her. Please, can they still go on in marriage?
Praise God. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Kenneth from Kwara State. God bless you. Listen to my answer very well. There is no fornication that is done by mistake. Kenneth say you want to marry a sister and you by mistake. You slept with her. People don't commit fornication by mistake. You are a fornicator. Kenneth, you're a fornicator! Your question is, can you still marry her? Yes, if you repent. Repent and don't touch her again until you finish your wedding. If you do that, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, he says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. He said, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So that God will not judge you. Stay away from her. But if she has already, you've already pregnanted her, God bless your evil with a child. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then quickly go and pay dowry and continue living together. You have forfeited wedding. Because you know the truth and you didn't do it. God bless you. Repent. That is the emphasis. And don't do it again. Okay, that should be the last caller. Yes.
So when I was at the age of 10, those group of people, we know them as William or Abraham. And the way they do their things, their adultery, so even them...
So they are not hearing you.
Okay. So when I was at the age of 10, there's this group they called William and Abraham in my village. I'm from Edo State.
Yes.
So that time, the adultery, in fact, even the leader them was found with my grandmother's uncle wife, fornicating with the woman. So at the end of the day, the son of that woman had to kill the woman. Because of that act. Then my auntie stopped me because I have a friend who was attending that, my primary school friend who was attending that group church. So they stopped me from associating with them. 2009, when I came to this church, you mentioned that because I was in a dream, I was looking for a church. I prayed. I said, I want a church where I can attend and pray. So I saw this church in the dream. And I came to this. I followed.
Are we not happy that God is showing somebody our church to come in a dream? Clap your hands now. Uh-huh.
So 2009, a friend invited me to this church. I believe he's still in this church. So when I came, I love the way they do things here. And I was so impressed. So I want to be a member. But one day you mentioned that William R. Abraham.
You nearly run out.
So out of ignorance, and I reflect back to when I was very small and those things they do. So I want to know, who is this William R. Abraham?
Huh?
Because I don't know him.
Can I have a booklet, a star messenger? Eh? Can I have the book, the star messenger? That means you are not a member of this church since 2009.
No, sir. I stopped.
You stopped. What brought you back again?
A friend again.
The friend said you should come back again.
Yes, sir.
That is the problem we have with this end time message. Satan pushed his ministers to go and handle this message so that the message will be unattractive and keep people from seeing it. You see? Who is William R. Abraham? Ah! It's a very long sermon. It's evening market. Please, if you don't mind, because our time is gone. There may be more people that are still asking the same question. So I will not tell you to meet me privately. I want to answer it openly. Eh? Who is William Mario Braham? Yes, the next vigil will come. Will be my sermon.
Thank you,
we'll take it. Because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Forget those possessed people, agents of darkness. That is the only man that opened my eyes to understand the confusion that is going on in Christianity and to understand the Bible. That's the only man that brought me back to the Bible. And everything you hear me teach in this church, now that man teach me. I will show you in the Bible. Eh? And you will know the fact that God directed you here, it simply means you are part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Because you say you wanted God to show you where you will worship Him in truth. And God show you this place. And because you had us mention something, you run. How can't you see that you can't run away from us? They still bring you back again. Praise the Lord. That is a seed of God. I am sure. I am certain. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Jerry, collect her phone number. I will talk to you. I will still talk to you. Please leave your phone number. Hey, they say, please give your phone number. Don't worry. He's a married man, this guy. He's married with two children. Two girls. Very wise people. Him and Brother Jerry, they are working in my office. Very smart Igbo guys. Any man that they born only girls, is a serious investment in this age. All these people always say they want boy. What will you gain? Boy. Now you go spend. But if na girl you have, package her well. I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, I am packaging my daughter. Where? So anybody where go come, when I throw away my prize, you go no say, yes. The last brother. The best child to have now, baby girl, in these hard times. Yes.
Praise the Lord, sir.
God bless you.
I want to ask a question. And my question goes like this. Concerning the...
Where is she? Sorry. Where is she? Come, sister. Sister Edo. Where are you? This is the one. I preached this message. I call it the Star Messenger. I preached it in January 2012. That time you ran away. So go and listen to it. A lot of questions will be answered there. Is there any other person that wants that tip? They go wrong, come. Hey, don't put that in your hand. 200 naira. Go and buy it there. Thank you. Your question. Oh, it's written. Shalom, church. Daddy, God bless you. This is from Sister Rachel from Italy. Brother Owen's wife, God bless you. Since we started following your message, our eyes of understanding has been open. Would you clap your hands? Would you put your hands together for our God? Hallelujah. He said, I stopped wearing trousers, earrings, and attachments. I give God the glory because now my beauty came out and I am at peace with myself. Hey! She said, thank you, sir. Daddy, a friend of mine asked me a question that those that are still wearing these things, will they make heaven? I want you to please put more light on this, sir. Thanks. Now, when you say those that still wear a ring and whatever, they are unbelievers. They are all believers now. Will Abraham said something? Make a day careful as they call this name. Some people, if you come, run, go. Will Abraham said something? Listen very well. Listen to what he said. He said, fornication is not the sin. Alcohol drinking is not the sin. Lying. It's not the sin. He said, all this wearing of trousers and all these things, cigarette smoking and the rest, he said, it's not the sin. He said, it is the sinner that smokes. It is because you are a sinner, that is why you are fornicating. He said, there are attributes of a sinner. So we don't look at the attribute. If you were a believer, you will not wear a ring. So earring is an attribute stating to the whole world that you are an all-believer, no matter the size of your Bible. I told you everything while they talk. Now William Branham teach me. Praise the Lord. All the way in Italy, shall stop all that. Hearing also through our broadcast. Hearing us through our broadcast. I was in Vienna. I met with her husband in Vienna, in Austria. And he told me her testimony. All. The man just wanted to see me. He said he just wanted to shake her with me. Because through our broadcast, his eyes were open. See him, all the books of William Branham, he ordered them from America. He has been reading and reading and reading and reading and reading. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we hear such testimonies, we know that we are achieving something. Irrespective of what we see happening here. Yes, brother. That's all. No more from abroad. Though. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Now, I want to ask this question. What will happen to the Jews? I mean the literal Jews, the original Jews within the Israelites. What will happen to the Jews who died without Christ during the time of Christ? According to this Romans chapter 11 verse 26 that says all Israel shall be saved. And with the Jews who accepted Christ during his time, will they go also in the rapture? Because the Bible says that, according to your teachings also, you made us understand that the Gentile will first go in the rapture before the gods will go back to the Jew.
Yes. So your question is, what happened to who?
What happened to the Jews who
that died before the gospel goes back to them?
Yes.
Is that what you are saying?
Yes, yes. That is the two questions now. What happened to the Jews that died before the gospel goes back to them?
Yes, that's the question.
Yes. And the second one is, what of the Jews who accepted Christ now, will they also go in the rapture with the Gentiles?
Sure.
Because Romans chapter 11 verse 26 says, all Israel shall be saved.
Yes. But while it says all Israel shall be saved, can you also open Romans 9 verse 6? Read it.
Verse 6.
Yes.
Not as though the word of God.
Can I read it? Let me read it for emphasis. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Why Romans 11:26 says that all Israel shall be saved, but he again told us that not all Israel are of Israel. Now, listen. Yes, all those that God allowed to see the light of grace, they will go with us in the rapture. The Bible called them God's elect. Now, God closed their eyes of understanding to salvation to enable him come to the Gentiles, to pick you and I. So, he will be dealing with them under a different program than he's dealing with us. Because he himself closed them. Now, what happened to those who died within that period? Because the fifth seal, Revelation chapter 6, the fifth seal number 5, I hope it is seal number 5, they are those that died under Hitler. 6 million in the Holocaust. But we see them before the throne of God at the altar, and they were Jews. They are still under the covenant that God has with Abraham. He's dealing with them under a different law that he's dealing with us now. Until he goes back again and opens their eyes to see Christ. Why? Right now, because They rejected him. That is why they are suffering and suffering, and they are still suffering till today. But when the gospel will come back to them, the light will come, they will also accept Christ. So that the whole world will come under one umbrella, Christ. I think I've answered your question.
Now, my second question goes like this. About destroying and casting out. Like in this present day, the Christians all over the world are busy destroying the witches and all the demons. But the Bible, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he made us to understand when Jesus gave the disciples power, he asked them to go and cast out. But today's Christianity is busy destroying spirits which cannot be destroyed. And I want to go to take it back again to the scripture in the book of Mark chapter 16, verse 17, where Jesus told the disciples to go and preach the gospel. And he now said, okay, this sign shall follow them that believe. They will cast out. So now, and you sometimes when you are ministering here, you always say that you yourself, you are not busy destroying the thing, or you are not busy destroying the demons, but you are not busy destroying the human beings itself, but rather you are praying for them to live so that they will see your testimony while you are alive.
What's your question?
My question is it a proper for we destroy demon being spirit and be casting it out? As the Bible has said.
No, you are asking me, you already know my stand, so what do you want me to say? You are concurring with me now. You agree with me now. That's what you are saying. I have always said that those who are killing spirits, I said, no demon will die. No spirit will die. What we are busy doing is we are destroying their works. We destroy their works. And I said, personally, I said, I don't believe in praying for my enemies to die. Because if you die, then how does it pain you, my progress? So I want you to be alive to see me achieve what you desire I will not achieve. I want you to be alive to see me build a big auditorium in this land. You who say I will not exist here. I will never pray for any pastor that is after this ministry to die. But I will pray that you'll be alive and see me unstoppable. Praise the Lord. I'm unstoppable. So I agree with you. I think you agree with me. Thank you very much. It's a wrong prayer. No spirit will die. Yes? And for your information, wicked people don't die in time. They said that they die. Mountain of fire, for don't finish all of them by now. Wicked people live long. So better destroy their works and stop killing them.
Good yes. Morning,
the last person. No, that's the last person. I'm sorry. I told you. I said that's the last brother. This is the last sister. Next time.
Sir, yes. Please, is it possible for God not to allow a particular person, a sister, specifically, not to get married at all? Because I have a friend from Singapore. She said she started her relationship.
Talk to microphone so that they can hear you well.
I have a friend. She said she started having relationships when she was 16, and now she's 48. She has been in 5 different relationships, but for one reason or the other, the relationships keep dissolving. So when I was talking to her, I was like, God bring her own person. She said no. That maybe God does not want her to get married.
No, is she saying maybe?
Yes.
Or she said God does not want her?
She said she's confused. That maybe God does not want her to get married because she has prayed and prayed.
She needs deliverance, John. She needs deliverance.
Because I was thinking of telling her to go for a deliverance.
Yes, take her to Mountain of Fire.
No, she's not in Nigeria.
Eh?
She's not in Nigeria.
There's Mountain of Fire abroad now. She needs deliverance, so tell her to go for deliverance, Mountain of Fire, or go to TB Joshua. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we happy tonight? I didn't know I would stay so long answering questions. I'm sorry. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Listen. Listen. Listen very well. The year is ending. While the enemy is planning for his people, we too, we are planning to withstand them.